Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. We want to extend a very special welcome to each and every one of you, and especially to those that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that you are always welcome here at Main Street, and we hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience with us this morning. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street, and if you'll give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. So if you would please now pass those attendance pads down the pew, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. It is certainly a beautiful spring morning out there this morning, and next Sunday morning we hope that it will look even prettier, because we're going to have a church grounds beautification work day this Saturday. It's this Saturday beginning at 7:30. Now, I know just about every Sunday school class has agreed to participate in the upkeep of our grounds by taking on certain spots and keeping it beautified. So every member in this congregation has made some commitment to do so. The Drake class this morning issued a challenge to the Shell Doula class to see who could have the most people here next Saturday to work on the cleanup of the grounds, and we'll likewise issue that challenge to every Sunday school class here. Let's have as many people as we can here next Saturday cleaning up the grounds. The more people we have, the quicker we can get out. So that's next Saturday, a work day for cleaning up of the grounds. Stephen ministers are reminded that tomorrow night you will be meeting at 6:30. That's the training class as well as the supervision class. And I've also been asked to announce that next Sunday there will be a covered dish dinner to say goodbye to Greg and Cindy Dominick and their family. It'll be next Sunday at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Everyone is invited, and if you plan to attend, please bring a meat, a vegetable salad, or dessert to share. Paper products and drinks will be provided. So that's next Sunday at 6 o'clock. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
Let us all stand now for the call to worship. The disciples asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Whoever becomes humble like this is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Please be seated. I'll ask you to join me now in our invocation. O Christ, take hold of us. If we have fallen to the ground, lift us up. If we have lost sight of the finish, point the way. Grasp our hands and pull us forward. Seize our spirits and urge them on. Show us the course, and we will press toward the goal, toward the prize of our high calling as your people. Amen. And I will ask you to pay attention to the insert. And ask our prayer warriors to please stand. Prayer warriors, please stand. And please remain standing for our litany for the prayer warriors. And Christians know the power of prayer. We know that we have a loving God who cares for each of us. We know our God listens through our prayers to our deepest concerns. We know that God answers our prayers. Each of you standing has volunteered to become prayer warriors for the Main Street United Methodist Church. You have offered to give a part of your personal prayer life and dedicate it to the welfare of a very precious part of this body of Christ, that is, the children of our church. Together, you prayer warriors will pray for each child in this church every day by name. In doing so, you freely give a gift to our children, knowledge that someone who may not even personally know them is praying for them out of Christian love and dedication. There is no better example to show that the church is the body of Christ and that all its parts are bound together in love. Prayer warriors, do you promise that you will pray for the welfare of our children? Do you agree that each day you will pray by name for the children assigned to you, that they might grow in the way of Christ? If asked, will you take your child's special concerns to your heart and raise them in prayer? Above all, will you do these things in Christian love, knowing that prayer is a powerful force in seeking God's direction for our children? If so, will you say, with God's grace, I will. Now that we might accomplish what we hope to accomplish, I would like to call upon the entire church so that those of you who are seated might remember those who are standing, that this church might become prayer warriors for Christ. I would like for the rest of you to stand and pledge yourselves to pray for those of you who are standing. The rest of you. Now those of you who stand beside your brothers and sisters in Christ, will promise to pray for these each and every day. If so, will you say, with God's grace, I will. With God's grace, I will. I'll ask you all to please be seated. And I'm going to ask forward Skylar McGinnis, who will speak about his experience on the receiving end of the Prayer Warrior Ministry.
Hello, my name is Skylar McGinnis, and I'm going to talk about prayer warriors. My prayer warrior is Mrs. I don't really remember her last name too good, but I think it's Sherman's mom, if any of you know him. There are 146 people praying for kids, and 188 children who are being prayed for. Therefore, there are it's good to know that someone's praying for you and someone wants to look after you and make sure nothing happens to you and it's also good because it lets all the families in this church be part of a family as one.
Thank you. And now as we come to our time of community prayer together, I have several announcements to make. One, we just got this morning that a longtime member, Louise Culver, did pass away today. We don't have any details on her service. And as far as prayer concerns, we have recuperating from hospitalization, Goldie Davis, Peggy Ackerman, Mary Metger, Ted Bobolin, and also in hospital, Louise Watley, Griff Williams. And we continue to pray for Mike Williams with upcoming treatment and procedures, and Shorty Callison, the same, and Barbara Shelley as well. We've been asked to pray for Reverend Greg Porterfield, who is having surgery for cancer, had surgery for cancer this last Friday. And we have one more announcement to make before we have our prayer. I don't have really a good time to do this, so I'll do it now. I need my wife to come forward and for her to model something for you. I'm announcing a new program. She doesn't know anything about this. Caroline?
I'll need my other microphone, Caroline. I'd like you to please put this on and just walk just in front of the congregation just a little bit. There you go. Okay.
Starting next week, at the suggestion of one of our members, Ted Boblin, who we announced is just recovering from some surgery, Ted has given the money and made possible these name tags. And we've had a name tag that has been, my wife is modeling now, a name tag. That's quite enough. We don't all know each other. And we're a medium large church, but we are not so large that we shouldn't know each other, at least by name, by sight. And we don't. And so next week, there will be, in alphabetical order, I'm not sure how there will be, but they will be out here at the Cambridge entrance where the ramp is. You'll be able to pick up, alphabetized, your name tag. And it has a safety pin, if you'd rather have a safety pin. It has a little alligator clip thing, if you'd rather have the clip. And I'm going to go ahead and wear mine the rest of the day. Well, I'll put it on, if I can find a way to put it on later. But at the end of worship, we'll have baskets for you just to deposit them in. We haven't decided who's going to re-alphabetize them each and every week, but we'll get to that. We sometimes just do things and we figure out the details later. But the one thing that we want to do is know each other by name, so we can pray for each other by name, so we can rejoice with those who are rejoicing, so that we can comfort those who are saddened. We need to know each other by name. And so that will help all of us have a name tag next week. Please. Even if you think it's something that you don't need to do and you've been here forever, there are always some new people who don't know you. So for their benefit, would you please wear a name tag beginning next week? Now, let us go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we thank and praise you for this new day. Great is your trust in us that we might use it to your glory. We thank and praise you for mercy and grace, for we know so often we fail to even think of your glory. For each beat of our heart, for each echo of your love in the face of another, for hope and growth and the ability to heal, we give you thanks and praise. Humble our hearts to truly worship, and give us joy of soul to truly praise you. Give us wisdom and trust that give not into despair. Our prayers we raise as a fragrant offering up to you. Receive our prayer and praise. Hear us as we lift up those who grieve, those who are ongoing medical treatments, those who have difficulties in their families, those who have financial difficulties, those who have doubts and need assurance and trust and comfort. Lord, let us be your hands and guide us by your Spirit to continue the ministry of Christ. Hear now the prayers of our hearts as we lift our concerns before you in silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll ask the children to please come forward now for the children's time with Kit Atkins.
Good morning, boys and girls. You look so beautiful today in your springtime clothes, and I know you're glad it's spring and you can get outside and play. Well, today we're going to learn about a story in the Bible about a woman and some perfume. How many of you have mothers or grandmothers or aunts or uncles who wear perfume? So you're very familiar with it. I brought two jars today. One is a real tiny one because perfume is pretty expensive. And sometimes you can only afford about a half an ounce at the most. Sometimes you can splurge and get a fairly big amount. And this is actually not real perfume. It's kind of the cheaper version. But the story we're going to learn about is about a woman named Mary. And she had a brother named Lazarus. Anybody remember him? Was raised from the dead by Jesus. And she had a sister named Martha. And one day, Jesus was having dinner with the family, he and his disciples. And Mary had a pound of perfume. Now, this is probably 2 ounces. And for those of you who know math, a pound of perfume is a lot of perfume. In fact, the Bible tells us that it was very expensive. It probably cost about a whole year's salary for somebody. So you can imagine. Well, you know what Mary did with that perfume? What? She did. She poured it out on Jesus' feet. And she was on her hands and knees before him, just loving him. And she put it on his feet, and she rubbed his feet. And then she let down her hair and wiped his feet with her hair. Well, there was a critic in the room, Judas. And he said, "Why is she wasting all that perfume? She could give that money to the poor. She's just being far too extravagant." You know what the word extravagant means? It's a big word. It would be like if your mother gave you a dollar a week for your allowance, and she said you should give at least 10 cents to church. That's your tithe. But you were extravagant and you put that whole thing in the collection. That would be extravagant. To some people, that's wasteful, but to Mary, she was just showing wonderful love to Jesus. And that's the kind of love that Jesus wants us to have for him. We know that he loves us extravagantly, but he wants us to love him. And the way we do that is by loving others, being obedient to our family, to our parents, to our teachers, by acts of kindness. What are some things you've done lately that just showed that you loved other people? Can anybody give me an example? Something you've done? I know you do it every day. Anybody given a gift to anybody? Anybody said, "I love you"? You have, I'm sure. All of you have. And so that's what God wants us to do to him. He wants to hear, "I love you," from each of you. When you say your prayers, we know that God loves us, but we want to love God back, and we want to love him extravagantly. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for giving us Jesus Christ to know how to live. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Let us pass the peace. Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these offerings, these returns unto you. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you. gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Hear now God's word. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. Now, I do hope in some small measure you can smell the smell of the nard or spikenard incense, which I have lit just a moment ago. And if it becomes too overpowering for the choir, I'm sure they will let me know. It is supposed to be the actual Middle Eastern herb of spikenard, and we can smell that fragrance as it comes forth. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was trying to think of a story that illustrated the extravagant giving of Mary of Bethany. And I remembered several years ago on an Umthem trip, I went to the Dutch West Indies and a little island, a 9-square-mile volcanic island called St. Eustatius. And we stayed there for 2 weeks, and we worked on a church, and I was able to preach there and to serve communion there as well as do some physical labor. And we stayed in the homes, the modest homes of the people who lived on that island, homes without even any running water. The only water that they had was water that came, rainwater, off of their lead-painted roofs into a cistern. I drank that lead-painted roof runoff water for 2 weeks. I think I was smarter before. But it was an interesting experience. Humble setting. And the last day before we moved, a friend of mine on the team in one bedroom and I in another bedroom, we couldn't let our curiosity pass us by. There was one room that had just sort of a curtain tacked up over it. And we looked in there, and it was a pantry, a storage closet that the 80-something-year-old woman, about the age of my grandmother at the time, had been sleeping in for that 2-week period. She only had 2 bedrooms, and she gave each of us one and slept on a cot in a closet so that we could be more comfortable while working on her church. She gave her best, and so I know the spirit of Mary of Bethany still lives. See, Jesus went to see some old friends the week before Passover. Lazarus was recently raised from the dead, and so his sisters Mary and Martha knew that Jesus was more than a teacher. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. And as always, Martha did the busy work, and she was serving them a meal, and Mary disappeared, perhaps as always. And when she came back, she held this bottle of essential perfume oil worth, by every commentary I can find, somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000. That sort of puts it in perspective. Between $25,000 and $30,000. And you know what she did with it? Judas was horrified at the waste because he thought the smell of money was in the air. But on the other hand, talk about spontaneous worship. We have on occasion offered the open mic in the early service for somebody to share if they wanted to share something in the worship service. But if someone wanted to share in that service or in this one, if they went to the ATM and withdrew all of their money or a year's worth of salary and started just laying one at a time $20 and $100 bills up on the altar in the collection plates, some of us would stop them and say, no, let's worship, but let's not give quite that much. Let's not give with quite that enthusiasm. We'd slow them down. A few months ago, my uncle Archie, I mentioned from time to time, he heard a presentation at his church in Spartanburg about the Heifer Project. Many of you have heard about the Heifer Project. Well, he gave $200 at the time, and then he thought about it, and he prayed about it a little while later, and he felt that God was urging him to give more, and so he added up his expenses. He knew that he was covered. He really didn't need anything. He's in his high 80s, and he decided, why not give $2,000 more dollars to the Heifer Project? After all, he was not in need, and they were. Archie said to me, he said, in the end, it is God's money, isn't it? All we can do is show whose side we're on by how we use it. Mary showed whose side she was on. She was on God's side. 1 year's salary and one extravagant act of worship. Now, as you can imagine, my uncle Archie was roundly criticized by some of my family members. It seemed foolish for him to do that. It seemed poor judgment. It might even be evidence of early Alzheimer's. But no, my uncle was doing what he has always done. What seems right and what seems to be in his mind and his prayers, what God would have him do, no matter the cost. I've been struggling lately with how we as a worshiping people at Main Street could be more joyful to God. And we look at Mary as one example. We look at Judas as another example. And there seem to be only two main roles you can play in worship. One is joyful participation. And two, the critic. The critic. I did come up with a third one. That would be passive observer, sort of like an audience member. But that's not playing a role in worship. That is the refusal to play a role in worship. Mary joyfully worshiped. And there is an ancient theme here. The theme is trust in God will sustain me beyond what looks like a wasteful act of worship. Some few courageous heroes of the faith have evidenced this. Complete and total trust that somehow God will enable me to live beyond this extravagant act of worship. You remember Abraham. Abraham, who was promised to be a father of a great nation. And then when he and Sarah finally bore the son to make it possible, God said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac on Mount Moriah to kill him and then make of him a burnt offering. Imagine, unthinkable. Abraham was asked to destroy a human life, to kill and then burn as a sacrifice his beloved son of the promise. It seemed that all was lost, and yet Abraham appeared willing. It's a hard story. He had complete and total trust that somehow God would enable him to live beyond this extravagant, apparently wasteful act of trust and even worship. Now, you know the better end of the story. The good end is that a ram was provided and Isaac was spared and Abraham passed a test that few of us can fathom. And you remember Noah. Noah, by the way, did not take all the animals two by two. Some he took seven by seven. It's in your Bible. Look it up at lunch and tell me if I'm wrong. Why seven? Because you need extra breeding pairs of the clean animals, and that makes six. And then one more for the sacrifice, which was the very first thing Noah did when he hit dry land. Imagine, after culling and caring for the best animals he could find, Noah gave thanks and praise to God by killing one of each from among the clean animals. The apparent waste to bring them that far and then kill and burn one out of seven. What was he doing? As another hero of the faith, Noah was showing complete and total trust that somehow God would enable him to live beyond this extravagant act of worship, and it would turn out all right. In the primitive language of the Old Testament that makes me cringe a little bit, it says that God was pleased at the smell of the burning, that God delighted in the wasteful, trusting, thankful worship of Noah's best and only possessions going up in smoke. And so God does the opposite of the Eden story where Adam and Eve were punished for not trusting. Noah, when he offered his best and trusted God, God accepted it as true faith and promised that he would never destroy the earth again by water. But there's another sermon beyond that. In Exodus 29, again, we have the idea of what appears to be a complete waste of a perfectly good animal, the best from the herd. It says in verse 18 there, "You shall offer up in smoke the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord." You hear this. You don't keep it. You don't breed it. You don't sell it and give the money to the poor. And you don't eat it afterwards. You show God your attachment to Him and your detachment to things by burning it up. It puts a whole different spin on giving to the church as an act of worship, doesn't it? A whole different spin. We are not to give in order to make some budget. We are to give because God says to give of our very best, no strings attached. Giving is either a joyful act of worship or it is accompanied by criticism, or you're a passive observer and do not participate. If we are to echo the heroes of the faith, we will do it with complete and total trust that somehow God will enable me to live beyond my extravagant act of worship. Now back to Mary and her $30,000 of nard. But first, a word from Proverbs 3 that sort of speaks to this. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. This is from the Reader's Digest version, but it's good. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give Him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. Now, if that sounds just a little bit too much like the radio and TV prosperity gospel preachers that we reject, hang on for just a minute. No less than Jesus made very clear elsewhere in Luke that there is a principle in the gospel of extravagantly trusting God and showing how much you trust God by how you lend money, how you forgive enemies, how you refuse to judge others, and how you do good even to those who do no good to you in return. Jesus said in Luke 6, "Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again." And then Jesus says, forget trusting people. Forget trusting money. Live like you really trust God. In verse 35, love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is not only in substance, this is in spiritual interaction with God and with others. I think we've had enough nard. I hope I'm not disturbing the choir too much. I was told this morning it reminded them of college in the 60s, but that is yet another sermon. Now we're ready to see what Mary did. She gave the very best she had, the very most she had. She gave her hedge against a future famine, her nest egg, her treasure, her personal invested fortune, all tied up in this outrageously expensive perfume. And she didn't just open the bottle. She broke it open so that there was no hope of plugging it back up and stopping. She poured it out on Jesus. She rubbed his feet. And what she did next was taboo for a respectable woman. She loosened her hair in a room full of men. That wasn't done. And rabbis did not allow single women to caress their feet. But she did. And used her very own hair as a towel to wipe his feet. She filled the room. She filled the house with the fragrant scent of her act of trust and worship and thanksgiving. And no one knew what to say. Judas looked on with horror at the waste and the smell of money in the air. Martha and the others may have looked on with disgust as she used her hair to anoint his feet. What Mary was doing appeared to be scandalous. It was messy, undignified, unseemly. And yet, Mary alone among them knew and understood that Jesus deserved this kind of worship and adoration. What an extravagant act of worship. It smelled up to high heaven. All Jesus said after she did this was that she had anointed him before instead of after his death. In the line of Abraham, in the line of Noah, in the line of ancient Israel, which gave their best and burnt it as a sign of worship and trust, Mary will always be remembered as a hero of the faith. No half measures. No diluting it with water. No little bit mixed with incense as I have today. She gave it all. She gave all that she had to worship and as a sign of trust in God in Christ. And when you think about Jesus Christ, there's nothing skimpy about Jesus and what he's done for us. In him, it says in the scripture that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And you may believe this and still not understand the full implications from Colossians that God was in Christ making peace by the blood of his cross. The Creator come to us. And we are such a fallen humanity that we rejected him and we nailed him to a cross. That's the kind of world we live in, and that's the kind of God Jesus made known. God is extravagant. God apparently wastes love and forgiveness and grace, casting it on people who will never appreciate it, wastes it on a humanity who seems to not know that they need it, not to know that they must have it, not to know how far we have fallen from where we were meant to be as a world, as a people, as a person. I pray for that sort of peace and that sort of joy. To worship God as Mary did. In the midst of strife. The peace to part with money joyfully, thankfully, trusting God more than it. To part with time and service without regret. For the peace Mary of Bethany knew. And Judas never understood. Let us pray for that sort of joy and that sort of peace. God has given us so much. Let us open up and give ourselves to God without counting the cost. Amen. receive this benediction, this blessing, the blessing of our extravagant God who has given us more greatly than we can understand. Lord, help us understand the blessing we have received in your love, in your grace, in your forgiveness, and your fellowship with us even in this moment through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, we have been blessed. Let us be a blessing. Amen.